Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, February 23, 2025, is by Jack Rossiter Munley on the topic of 99 and a half.
So I wanted to begin with that song because it tells the very sad and true story of what happened to Hetty Carroll. It really did go down that way. William Zanzinger was a 24-year-old white guy with a lot of money and power who killed her for not bringing him his drink quickly enough at a fancy party. And he faced very little repercussions for that and lived out the rest of his life and died in 2009, having had almost no consequences for his actions other than a very famous song. And there's actually a darkly funny anecdote that a journalist tells where he actually found him in the phone book. And it said William Zanzinger, and he thought, not many people must have that name. He called him up, and the journalist was working on a piece about Bob Dylan. And as soon as he mentioned it, William Zanzinger just started screaming at him for 20 minutes and then hung up. So nothing changed. But the part that strikes me about that song is the way that it ends. And there's the refrain after each that, you know, for everyone who's upset by these sorts of things, for those of us who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, you know, throughout the song we're told not to cry. And then at the end, at the miscarriage of justice, not the deed itself, but at the fact that the system is broken, that is when we are told to bury the rag deep in our face and that it is the time for our tears. And I have the same thought about recently rewatching the film Justice at Nuremberg, because that is a film that is about what are the bounds of responsibility and consequence and justice. The timing of the events in that film are what were known as the judges' trials. So basically the high-level people within the Nazi Party, whose names we all know, had already gone through their trials, and now it had come down to the justices and the judges, the people who were just administering the law. And the defense that everyone was just doing their jobs had been used before, but now it was applied a little bit more strenuously to say that these were people whose job it was to uphold the law. But of course, by that point, the law had been broken. And I feel like that is something that we can all see happening right here and right now. At the time that Dylan was writing this song, and for a very long time, of course, the ladder of law has always had tops and bottoms, but now it is more twisted and broken than ever before. And so what do we do when that's the case? Because it is truly frightening, and I'm very happy that Kathy mentioned the challenges that are coming to individuals, because that's something that I also see every day. And I feel like the context with which I'm experiencing most of these changes is through my job. As many of you know, I am the director of the Multicultural Center over here, which is a branch office of a National Refugee Resettlement Agency. And there have been specific and drastic changes that have negatively impacted people's lives. And I'll be pretty brief, but I think they are stark and telling. So on January 20th, all refugee arrivals to the United States were stopped. And that included people who've been waiting for years and years to be reunited with family members. For us here locally, it has included people who had their travel delayed. So some family members arrived right before the 20th, and they had family members who were supposed to arrive in early February. And they had travel dates, they had travel booked, and now there's no telling when that will happen. And that's not even starting to talk about some of the people who have literally waited years and years to be reunited with their families. So that would be cruel and unusual enough. However, on the Friday of that week, so the 20th was a Monday, on the 24th, the federal program that supports people when they have arrived to the United States, so not even people who might arrive, but people who are already here, was entirely discontinued. It was stopped. No funding for administrative costs, and crucially, when someone arrives as a refugee, there is a certain amount of money per person that is available to them through this federal program, and all of that was instantly halted and taken away. I mention all of this because there is a phrase that has come up a number of times. It's not new to this, but the idea that the cruelty is the point. Right, there is no real logic to any of this. There is obviously the intuitive humanitarian and human work of helping people escape violence and danger and make new lives in this country. But if you look at the numbers are also there to support the incredible economic benefit that comes from resettlement. There was a study done of 15 years of refugee resettlement, and the net gain, so even after all of the federal and state programs that people are often using when they first arrive, the net benefit is over $125 billion to national, state, and local economies. So whether you're looking at it from a what would be a traditionally liberal or traditionally conservative perspective, this is a way for people to enter the country legally with specific kinds of support to start their lives as quickly and effectively as possible. And both on paper and in communities, it works. But the cruelty is the point. It's not about any of that. So what do you do in the face of all of this? And the way that I've been thinking about it is in the context of the song that I'll play, my last song, which is a song called 99 and a half. And in the song, there are references to God. And again, for anyone who knows me, I'm not necessarily a believer. But when I hear that, I have a specific relationship to the songs that I find meaningful that do mention a specific deity, which is that I relate it to my own concept of faith, which is I think about faith. I believe this is, I was looking this up in the Webster's Dictionary. I love dictionaries. And I think it's actually the seventh listed definition of the word faith, but it's one that I think we return to pretty often, which is belief in the absence of evidence. Right? And so I personally, my own spiritual life and my own faith is around the goodness of other people. Even when there's absence of evidence, I have faith and belief that people are basically good and that there is something you can access in them. And I don't think we have to go overboard with that. I'm not saying we have to reach out to every despicable person we can think of or that we know, but that when we come together as human beings, we often can find the best parts of ourselves and the best parts of each other. And so the song 99 and a half, which does reference God, is about the continual struggle for progress and improvement. And the refrain is, I'm running, I'm trying to make 100, 99 and a half won't do. And I feel like everything that's happening right now is to make us forget that and to just work for 75 or 50 or 25 or 10 or even 1. And I refuse to accept that. I don't think that's, I'm not going to do that. I am trying to get to 100, and 99 and a half isn't enough. And so on the national and the federal level, that feels and seems impossible. But to extend the quote from Ernst Jahning about the fever over the land, in rooms like this, in communities like this, that's where the fever can break. And that's where we can continue pushing for 100. There is joy in resistance, there is strength in our community, and 99 and a half won't do. We can keep that vision of 100. We just heard Mary's version of Imagine. We can't stop imagining the future we want to see. We can't stop imagining the world that we want to see just because someone else has a different idea and a lot of power. Because there is power that we can exert here and in our community here. So right now, it is in fact the time for our tears because the system is more broken than ever, but they are not tears of despair, not tears of sorrow, but tears of anger and justice, tears that can join others from around the country because this resistance and this belief and this faith exists in pockets all over the country. And it's on all of us to keep that faith and to keep that vision and to find the others who have it, to give them the strength they need to work for it, to bring all of us together so that we can finally, hopefully soon, wash away all of this hatred and division and cruelty.